Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Access Astrology, our three astrologers that will talk to you about what's going on in the astrological weather for this week and to share our excitement about astrology. Later on, we're going to give you the number to call in if you have any questions that you'd like the input from three astrologers on. And we're going to talk about first what's going on this week in the stars. Now, the Mercury retrograde, this is the third and last week of a three-week Mercury retrograde cycle. Mercury goes retrograde 3 weeks, three times a year. And anything mercurial, that's transportation, communication, honesty, organization of thoughts, and hearing from, you know, the way we hear from each other, how we communicate goes a little haywire. What it's wonderful for is doing anything that begins with the letters R-E, to remember, remind, research. And often we hear important people from the past. I have heard from someone that I haven't spoken to since I was 17 this week, thanks to the gift of Facebook. And, you know, so we often bring up projects from the past, or manuscripts that we've left behind, and polish them off and bring them to fruition. So it's a great week for working that through. But the screw-ups this week have been truly astounding. I mean, this one has been a doozy, because as Mercury was stationing to go retrograde, we had the experience of someone trying to set off a bomb on an American plane on Christmas Day. That was the day before Mercury went retrograde, but while it was in station or appearing to hold still from the Earth's orbit. And since then, there's been one really amazing Mercury retrograde story that has slowed down or stopped transportation after the other, or at least made it interesting. Now, the person who ran back to get one final goodbye kiss and close Newark Airport for 6 hours is a wonderful, wonderful example of Mercury retrograde. I've been collecting stories from around the globe, and some of them have been really funny. Some of them have been kind of sad. We were talking about that today, the whole question about whether or not they're going to get rid of Jay Leno from the evening lineup and put him back in Conan O'Brien's position, that rethinking of a project that we weren't sure how we did it right the first time is also very Mercury retrograde. Now, that's got some other interesting complications. But, hey, you two, should we introduce ourselves first, which we usually do, and then we'll take it on from here. I'm Heather Rowan Robbins. This is Mercury retrograde. You tend to, you know, get an idea in your mind and keep on going. This is Heather Rowan Robbins speaking to you from North Dakota. I'm back here up in the frozen north, and we have Mark.
Mark Waltz, speaking from Manhattan, New York City, over on the west side, somewhere near the Hudson River, which has a little bit of ice on it. Nothing like you've got in North Dakota.
We warmed up to 20 degrees today. We were so excited.
What degrees?
And we have 20.
20? Wow.
That's 40 degrees more than it was last week, so, hey, we're happy.
It's warm. I'm Ann Ortley, and I'm an astrologer on the Upper East Side of Manhattan at my bright red desk, sitting here manning the switchboard eventually when we have the switchboard happen. And I'm definitely, as a Virgo, with a lot of planets in Earth, or in Virgo or Gemini, have really been noticing this lovely Mercury retrograde, because it's been a been a whopper for, as far as I'm concerned.
Mm-hmm. How have you been experiencing it?
Everything's changing, you know. Life is changing, my house is changing, my assistants changed, my father fell down the stairs, you know. It's kind of been one of those, you know, let's everybody have a real adventure, you know. So they mailed me a picture of him. He's all bruised and battered. You know, he kind of tipped over as he was leaving and, you know, is on blood thinner, so he bled all over the place. And then, of course, they didn't call us. It was like, you know, call and say, you know, we're missing your father. He's, you know, in the hospital for the night. It was just very strange. So lots of communication snafus from my perspective. Mm-hmm. My computer's been well behaved, though. Hmm?
Oh, that's wonderful.
Yeah, we're happy with that. Mark?
Pretty good, except that I can't remember anything.
Mm-hmm. Also a sign of Mercury retrograde.
Exactly.
I find that one thing I cannot do with Mercury retrograde is tell a joke, because I always screw up the order of the punchline.
Yeah.
I always stick it in the first part.
Right.
And then people look at you and go, what? It was, yeah. And you're like, it was funny. Really, it was funny when I heard it. I just didn't tell it very well. Yeah.
I had a lot of work to do with Mercury retrograde, and I've been driving all over, and I've been very grateful that that Mercury has been kind to me as far as actually getting from point A to point B, because I've logged in about 4,000 miles this last month.
Wow.
But within that, and the communications, I've noticed two clients got, I had back-to-back appointments, both clients got the time wrong, but they managed to show up at each other's time slots. It was two wrongs make a right.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm seeing this over and over again, where the mistakes that we make actually have been serendipitous. You know,
that
going
like
to the wrong corner,
retrograde.
But it turns out to be the right one.
Right.
Hmm? That's a Mercury retrograde with some kind of Jupiter hanging around in the right spot. Mm-hmm.
Right. Which I'm so, for many people, I've seen this also, that there has been a stroke of fortune through it and some really interesting brainstorming, getting ready for new ideas. But, you know, we know that one rule is you have to keep all the plans loose. This is a great time to get information ready, to get the details organized, but not to begin the actual process until Mercury turns direct, mm-hmm. because you know you're going to have to revise the plans.
Right, right. It changes. It changes. Mm-hmm. So,
what else do we think is going on this week?
Well, I'm noticing the eclipses. You know, we have part two of the eclipses are here. The eclipses are here. There's a big eclipse at the end of the week on, depending on where you live, if you're in Australia, it's Thursday night, and if you're in the United States, it's Friday morning, bright and early. Mm-hmm. And it's a nice, big, juicy eclipse. It brings up the story from 1992 when the eclipse took place at the same degree. And it also is an eclipse about moving you forward, because the eclipse is lovely. It's got Venus on the north node with the sun and the moon. So it's an eclipse mm-hmm. that says, okay, time to step forward into the new life. Bum, ba-da-bum, bum, bum. And then if you can't, we're going to find a replacement for you, and we're forward moving. You know, it's like this very dramatic kind of entrance music is the way it feels energetically mm-hmm. to me. And it really is a very big eclipse on Capricorn. And the sun and the moon are involved, and Mercury and Pluto are joined and squared to Saturn. So it's very energetic craziness. So when mm-hmm. we see that, it's like, oh, okay, cool. And watching that, it's huge. So I'm really excited about the eclipse. Plus, it happens on the same day that Mercury stations to go direct, so we can mm-hmm. expect really profound information under this eclipse, too, where we really hear major, major things. So
mm-hmm.
I'm like up for it. I'm like ready. So that's my thrill is the eclipse.
And the eclipse is also, you know, happening under this new moon in Capricorn.
Mm-hmm.
The new moon in Capricorn is the beginning of work. It's the beginning of a new phase in our life. And we won't be able to start it as Mercury turns, which is luckily it's, you know, close to midnight. But as Mercury turns direct later on in the day, but to really notice the end, it's, for instance, the last day of work for my partner before a whole new job has started in a few weeks. And I didn't arrange it astrologically to land exactly on the day of an eclipse, ending one job, creating the space to start a new one.
Mm-hmm.
But we can think about many places in our life where you are ending one job, whether it's one project, one approach, one way of handling someone we know, and deciding where else do we want to put that Capricornian energy, which is the ability to climb, to take something to the top of the mountain, to get somewhere with a dream that we have. Because that Capricorn new moon, the image of that Capricorn is have sea creature, half mountain goat. We have to go to get the dream first, then walk it up to the top of the mountain. So with Mercury retrograde, now is a great dreaming time. And this whole last year with the Jupiter-Neptune-Chiron conjunction has been a great dreaming time. And now how do we walk it forward? This is very different than what we're seeing happening in the political arena at the moment, where so much energy is spent, especially under this Mercury retrograde cycle, parsing over what people said 2 years ago, rather than continuing to find a dream and working towards it. And this, you know, the American habit of finding someone to blame is the same as solving a problem, and it's not. And how do we keep bringing the focus back in politics on, in a personal level at our, at a, you know, the politics of an office or the politics of our town or the politics of our country, back to finding the solutions and working towards them rather than biting at each other. That's a waste of the dream. That's getting stuck in the Neptunian confusion, as far as I'm concerned, rather than working towards, you know, putting that Capricorn effort behind a dream and behind a vision. Let's get back to that, is my belief, however we choose to do that, whatever the politics are involved. Now, this Mercury is going to retrograde with it back within 2 degrees of Pluto. And that, you know, it tagged that several times already, and bringing up that sadness, that what is it that we have to let go of? What's really not worth putting our anger into, our sadness into, our effort into? What really, in the face of life and death and serious issues in our life, in the face of the potential for loss, do we want to put our mind, our thoughts, our effort towards? So it's going to be a very interesting lineup coming up. The eclipse new moon happens conjunct Venus. How do you interpret that, either of you?
Mark, do you want to go?
It's conjunct Venus?
Yeah. The eclipse new moon is 24, 25 degrees of Capricorn, and Venus is just past that at 25 degrees of Capricorn. And I'm wondering that seems to me auspicious on a good day because it adds Venus energy to the eclipse.
Right.
But it also may bring an eclipse to Venus issues. So there may be some relationships that just don't make it.
Right.
Well,
you know,
the first thing that comes to mind in what's going on with our economy is that there's going to be a piece of bad news.
Mm-hmm.
In terms of finance, you know, something gets eclipsed and that has to do with the public and public finance. So, you know, there'll be that happening. But then, you know, the question of relationship is really at another level. And I have a feeling that it'll work positively as much as...
Well, that was Mercury retrograde.
Sounded like the aliens took them. Okay, Mark just bounced.
Well, Mercury retrograde just took out Mark.
It was like burp, 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 and then he went bing, off he went. Okay, well, he'll be back.
That was lovely.
That was cute. I like that. It was really, it sounded like the aliens abducted him. There's aliens over on the west side of Manhattan.
Maybe they did. The Venusians.
The Venusians.
I do think that one of the aspects to remember with an eclipse is it doesn't, it really does shed and break things apart. There you are,
there back
again. We thought the aliens had taken you.
I'm back, yeah. No, it was the station for the cell phone, the tower is on Mercury.
Yeah, that's it. And it retrograded.
It got picked up by the Mercury tower.
I was saying that you know, with an eclipse can often precipitate change, but it does not precipitate change that is not already ripened. I think of it as if there's any ripe fruit, it falls. So it doesn't break up a perfectly happy relationship. But if people are hanging together out of habit, it may shift. Mm-hmm. If people are having a bad relationship, and with Mercury retrograde always puts stress on relationships because of the misunderstandings that tend to pile up. And, you know, number one relationship rule with Mercury retrograde, if you feel tension in a relationship, first assume it's a misunderstanding. Parse that out, you know, work through that, and then you can get upset. But first make sure that everybody really understands what's going on first, because that's so easy to get lost.
Right.
Right. Yeah, so with the conjunction to Venus, so, you know, it's kind of, if you look up in the sky, that means that Venus is right with the moon.
Mm-hmm.
And then we see the moon go away. And actually we'll see Venus will brighten up for a moment if we're looking at the sky. We're at a place where we can see this. And you know, Venus will suddenly brighten up because the light of the moon is diminished, and it's a big full moon. So normally Venus would look a lot less bright nearby. I don't know the declination. Does anybody know the declination?
Mm-hmm. No.
Actually, I think it's a new moon, isn't it?
It's a new moon.
It's a new moon, yeah. So it's
I'm wondering, is Venus...
Yeah, Mercury retrograde is?
Yeah, Venus is involved in the declination. Venus and Mercury both. They're in declination to the sun and the moon. Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. So it should be visible because it's an annular eclipse. So it's the Ring of Fire where the moon and the sun are slightly smaller than the sun. So the sun looks like a ring of fire around the moon. And it's visible in Africa, the western coast of Africa, and then across India and into Beijing. So it's, where, you know, a lot of our eclipses lately have been over on that side of the world.
Yeah, and it'll be interesting to see what actually happens from there. Often it's the part of the world where the eclipse is most visible that feels it most intensely.
Mm-hmm.
And again, it's not the disaster that often was, seen historically, but it does act as that astrological acupuncture. It's an intensity with the two luminaries are in exactly the same place, lined up with Earth. And it pumps energy into that place in the chart, and that's 25, 26 degrees of Capricorn. So,
yeah, it really wakes
with
up
that
degree.
In their chart.
And I think we also need to watch because of because the day before Saturn stations, and then the day after the eclipse, Jupiter changes signs and goes into Pisces. So it's a big shift, you know, energetically for the world.
Very. Great change
and
of that.
The two guys, the big guys, Saturn and Jupiter, kind of straddling the eclipse by major changes in either their direction or their physical energy. So it's, you know, we're going to really feel it because it kind of speaks to that, okay, major shift, time to change, and it'll feel like a big boom kind of energy. So in the area of your life where you have 25 Capricorn, because those other two planets are also waking it up. Waking up the eclipse energy. So I'm kind of looking forward to it because it's on, not my father fell, so I'm kind of not looking forward to it that way because I'm like, oh, I don't want it to be about Dad. But it is about, it is in my 12th house. And so I always find I have really good dreams when I have things go off in my 12th house. So I'm like, ooh, cool. Like, you know, what are the dreams going to be with this eclipse? So, and things coming out from hiding, you know, that you haven't really seen, and all of a sudden you're really seeing them. So
we see that with Mercury turning direct also, that whatever's been brooding in the last few weeks, that could be new possibilities, it could be a job offer, it could be bomb scares, it could be what you've been brooding on inside of yourself, comes up through the dreams, comes up through revelation. Often there are events that you see what people have been planning, for better or for worse, that occur as soon as the planet turns direct. So it should be pretty interesting. There's some really good aspects over the weekend afterwards as the moon enters Aquarius and we see the moon move into a conjunction with Chiron, Neptune, as Jupiter goes into Pisces. We see a lineup of effort to reconnect with the community, to feel responsible for one another, and to want to work together. So there's a real a sense of knowing that our karma runs together, and if I take care of you, I'm also taking care of me. Turns it up. How can we take care of the collective and have the collective take care of us this coming weekend? So hopefully something will help bring our vision back to there. And we have one person who wrote in and asked us to look at their chart, which we're going to go into in a minute. Anne, would you also like to give them the number out so that we can begin to get
callers if people want to call?
Callers lined up.
All right, so if people want to call, the call-in number is 347-215-8881. 347-215-8881, and you call in and it'll say listen to the show or call in and get in the queue, press 1. If you press 1, we actually see you. If you don't press 1, we don't see you. So, yeah,
and
I think it's
you,
what?
We'll get back to you.
Yeah.
And we'll then answer your questions online.
Online, yeah. And so we also had a person write in an email for the question for the show. Who's looking at problems with their marriage. So so we have two questions. People wrote in. We love it when you write in. Write in and ask us questions.
Right. And the first one that wrote in from, I'm just pulling up that time. Do you have the, there it is. It's January 7th, 1964 at 5:20 a.m. from Queens Village, New York. And
so say it again so people can follow along at home.
Frida, January 7th, 1964 at 5:20 a.m. from Queens Village, New York. And she asked two questions that she has dealing with. One is a health question. She's had colitis for 6 years. How can she let it go? And career, what is purpose? That she is a salesperson for medical supplies, does it very well, but she's bored with it, and asks for help on how to make that a change. Now, when I hear someone with gut issues as a Virgo and who's worried about their work, you know they're connected.
The sixth house of work and the body are the same place in the chart.
Yes. And in this person's chart, what are you seeing there?
Well, the ruler of her sixth house with the 5:20 in the morning time is Taurus. Venus is the ruler of her chart. And Venus is in Aquarius. And Aquarius is kind of weird processing, and it's in the second house of money and skills. So I would say that probably part of the colitis is tied to the work story, because it's also Venus is joined to Saturn in Aquarius in the second house. Now, she's got real security needs. She likes to be secure with a Capricorn sun on the south node, and she was born in an eclipse. So this eclipse actually is a new moon on her Mars, which can bring up issues for her about how to go out in the world on a different level. She's, you know, and if you think back to 1991, whatever you started then, there's a desire now to shift that story or change it. But I look at that Venus, Saturn, and Aquarius and say, oh, okay, Venus and Saturn joined in Aquarius, which is kind of, you know, you think about Aquarius, it's like that little Rivoli symbol, and that's kind of like her bowels are little Rivoli bowels, because colitis is usually a section of the bowel that is not finished off the same way that the other parts of the bowel are. So I think they're definitely tied. So maybe if she changed jobs, she would not have as much problem with the colitis.
And you see that the ruler of her sixth house, which is the house of health and bowels and other exciting things, the sixth house is health, small animals, the work that we do on a daily basis, not necessarily our career and profession, but what we do to feed ourselves and what does our job actually consist of. She has Taurus on the cusp of the sixth, and the ruler of that is Venus, and Venus is conjunct Saturn natally in her chart, right on the cusp of her third house, about communications. So you can see that working a community or working a group is an important part of her job. And that trines the moon up in the 10th house of profession and career in Libra. So being the communicator to a group of people for her work is not the problem. She's really good at that part. She's good at work in the community. But I see that Saturn and Uranus are in Virgo up in the 9th house in the sign that rules the guts and the intestine. They form a nice trine to her Saturn, her Sun, and Mars in Capricorn. Now, so I don't see where she, with her process there, it feels like that she's not in the wrong job, but she's doing it for the wrong reasons and the wrong organization, that working a group of people, she needs to believe in it. She needs to care about it. With that, Uranus and Pluto in the house of faraway places, foreign ideas up in the 9th house, or higher education, it would seem to me that she got somehow stunted from her potential because there was an interruption in her education. And so she ends up being the salesperson for the medical supplies instead of maybe going into medicine or being a communicator in a different way in the business. So I'd love to see her continuing to be a communication person around the medical field, but instead of being the salesperson, it seems to me like she needs more education to go into a field that would feel like she's serving a purpose, that she's being useful and helpful. It's just to really believe in what she's doing. It's not that she's in the wrong field to me. And that if she started to believe in what she was doing and had something to digest other than her own guts, her guts would begin to heal.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
How do you... And that especially now with the lineup of Chiron, Jupiter, and Neptune lining up conjunct her Venus-Saturn conjunction, which rules her sixth house, the desire to have more imagination, have more creativity, and have more purpose in her job is just kicking her.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Well, it's interesting because if you listen to what you've both pointed out and you look at the chart, in many ways, the answer to the colitis is going to be found in the answer to the job question. Because,
mm-hmm.
You know, she has a history with the medical field. What she needs to do is look and see what is it that she really needs in order to cure the colitis for herself,
mm-hmm.
you know. Mm-hmm. And when she does that, then commit to working with exactly that form of therapy as a salesperson or a responsible person of some sort. In other words, I think that what's cutting her off from being happy with her work is she doesn't really believe in the aspect of medical sales that she's doing.
Mm-hmm.
And it's probably one that, in fact, would not fix her colitis.
Mm-hmm.
And if she'll just shift it to see, okay, what part of medicine is it, you know, whether it's mainstream or alternative or what do I need to fix this colitis? And then, you know, fix it for herself and then make a career of bringing that to other people.
Mm-hmm.
You know, there's nothing like succeeding on your own self and then,
That's a great description.
You go from there, you know.
Right. In other words, that instead of starting with the work, start with the colitis. Really explore all the alternatives and see where that takes her into her career.
Right. And she has the medical background. So, I mean, you know, the background with the medical field. So she can do, you know, whatever it is, but apply it to what works for her. And that's really important because of the Neptune squaring her Saturn-Venus in the natal chart. But it makes a big mystery out of what goes on in both work and health. It makes it really hard to diagnose and figure out what's the best. So it's not going to be an easy fix, but the answers are all there. and you just have to get to the fog. And a lot of that, it ultimately comes down to faith. You know, she's got what she really believes in, and it'll work. And then go ahead and bring that to other people. And the moon in the 10th house says that she's meant to bring what she knows to other people.
Right.
And help them bring balance into their life.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, that trines the Venus-Saturn. Helps to fix that square from Neptune. So, you know, it is something. The colitis is given to her as the next step in her journey. I mean, it's a long step because she's had it for a while. But, you know, the first step in the journey was getting into the medical field in the first place and getting that background. Then along comes the colitis saying, but what does this mean to you? And when she answers that question, then how do you bring that to others?
Beautiful.
Yeah, I think we often forget how closely tied our body is to our work. You know, the sixth house is kind of a weird little house because it includes the people who we work with, too, and as well as our daily
routine. Boy, do they affect our health.
And how do they affect our health? And it also includes our pets and our habits and what we eat and how we, you know, what our routines are and how they affect our health. And so this kind of this mishmash house. But in her case, because Venus rules it, you know, she actually can handle this energy in a really productive way. And probably looking at the kind of medical equipment that she sells or the purpose that it's serving, that will really help part of her journey in terms of what she wants to do for her work next, too. Because the colitis is probably tied to, okay, I'm ready to leave, but on some level I can't because I'm not well enough. And so I think when she figures out how to be well, then that goes. And also, you know, when it sounds like we're picking on her that she somehow made herself sick. I don't think
that's not the case, but
I mean, sometimes people go, you know, sound like she made herself sick.
Yeah.
It's like, no, it's colitis as a nervous bowel. You know, we often see colitis with things in Sirius planets in Virgo or with planets in, you know, in nervous energy signs. And so she has that Venus-Saturn there, and she also has the Uranus-Pluto in the ninth house of what's her belief about her work, what's her faith in her work, and does she have it? And that Pluto's in conjunct to the Venus. So there's something about doing the work, and Venus is also the ruler of her midheaven. There's something about the way that the work works for her that makes her bowel be crazy because she doesn't believe in the work. She doesn't like the work. There's some piece of it that, you know, that she maybe fell into the work, but she didn't think consciously, why am I doing it?
Right.
And now her chart wants her to be conscious about why are you doing this work? What's your purpose for it? Yeah. Because she's a Sag.
And
she has to believe in what she does. Sag rising, rather. She has to believe in what she does. Or her chart doesn't work well. And she's a Capricorn sun, again, to, you know, are you working for things you believe in or are you working for the money? And it's not to say that it's bad to work for money, but it's, you know, if you're just working for the money, your body's going to say to you, I can't do this anymore. I want to go do something else. Okay, I'll make you have a sick day. You know, and then you can stay home and do whatever it is you really want to do or think about what you want to do, you know, kind of thing. So, yeah.
Well, kind of one of the interesting, when I look at her nodal axis, I see that her south node's in Capricorn and her north node's in Cancer.
Mm-hmm.
So she really is here to learn something about healing the digestive system with that north node in Cancer. But that suggests that it will heal, that she can work, though that's upper bowels, not lower bowels. It says that she can use the health of how she learns to nurture herself in new and healthier ways that will help her lower bowels. And it also suggests to me that the north node in Capricorn, you know, just what you said, that her work ethic is so intense with Mercury, Sun, and Mars all conjunct in Capricorn, but that her default mode, our south node talks, we all have a default mode, and our south node often tells us the pattern that we came in from other lifetimes with that we tend to go back to and do over and over again, and that's... It's a we need to use the skills from the South Node to work towards the North Node. But this lifetime, we're here to work towards the North Node. And her South Node says she's come in knowing how to work. She can work harder, and under stress, she works even harder. And she, you know, can beat a dead horse with herself. She can really push herself without being careful. But she needs to use that ability to work hard towards something that she feels is truly nurturing to herself and others, with that North Node in Cancer and the North Node on the cusp between the 7th and the 8th house, that she wants to nurture. She wants to be someone who cares for others, and probably that nurturing aspect is one way that she nurtures the people that she works with and nurtures the people that she connects with. And I think as a salesperson, she actually, you know, teaches and informs and cares for her clients, which is how she gets, you know, good business. But might be more comfortable feeling more direct about how she's doing that nurturing. And I noticed that her progressed Sun is at 2 Pisces and her progressed Mars is at 1 Pisces, and they are both being aspected, sextiled by Pluto, and back and forth this year. And the sextile is a lovely aspect from Pluto, Lord of Death and Rebirth, saying, you know, why are you here? And poking her, and maybe that through the colitis, they're saying, don't just hang around and do nothing. You know, you're here to live up to your potential, and I'm going to make you kind of sad if you don't. Mm-hmm. But I'm not doing this to give you a hard time. I'm really doing this to help you take the risk and leave what can feel like security to do something that you really love and let you see that that will actually help you come alive.
Right, and help you heal. Yeah.
Right. Cool. She's got Sun, Mars, and Venus in the second house, so her ability to earn a living is very good.
Yeah, no, she definitely could do well with the money.
Do we have anybody on the line?
We do. We have callers. Hello, how are you?
Great.
Hello?
Hi, 646. How are you?
Oh, hi. Do I need to turn the
thing
off? Yeah,
because you got a slight delay. I heard that little speaker. I'm like, oh, I hear us.
Oh, goody. Oh, hi.
Hi.
I have a little question.
Sure.
Oh, my goodness. It's about myself and this new person
mm-hmm.
in my life. I don't know his birth time, but I can give you mine, and then I can give you his. It's kind of the first person in a long time I've felt something kind of strong for.
Mm-hmm.
So my birthday is January 7th, 1970. Actually, I heard another person had January 7th.
Mm-hmm. Cool.
Do you need the birthplace?
Time. Mm-hmm.
11:27 p.m.
Where?
Berkeley, California.
Oh, okay. We love Berkeley.
Yes. Very cool.
You still live there, or are you somewhere else?
No, I'm in New York.
Cool.
I go back. I sometimes show up at East West Books in New York.
Oh, okay, cool.
Yeah.
And what's the fellow's time, birthday?
His time is April 11th, 1977.
And we don't know the time, but we know what city?
Chicago, Illinois.
Chicago. All right. So we have you as, for the listeners following along astrologically, January 7th, 1970, 11:27 p.m. at night, Berkeley, living in New York now. And the fella is April 11th, 77, I'm giving him a high noon chart just because we do that when
yeah.
we don't know the time, in
right,
Chicago.
Right.
Okay, so let's see what's going on. So you met him, you like him, you think he's cute, huh?
Very cute.
Yeah, that's always fun. A little January romance for the cold nights. We like that.
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah.
Well, I like his Mars is joined to your Mars. His Mars is on your node. That's always that little giant sucking sound where we go, ooh, you're kind of cute. We don't know what time his moon is, but depending on when he's born, if he's born in the morning, your moons are conjunct because he's got an Aquarius moon, 3 degrees at high noon, but you've got a cap moon. And you're actually a pretty conservative kind of gal. You don't necessarily go crazy over people easily. And his sun and Venus and nodes all are in your seventh house, opposite your Pluto, opposite his Pluto. So he's a pretty intense guy. He's a little magnetic on top of it.
Yeah, he is very.
Very magnetic.
Yeah.
Okay, cool. Yeah, no, I like the initial lay. Saturn's on your Chiron. That's, you know, your Saturn's on his Chiron. Usually you need Chiron in a relationship chart. And your Marses are conjunct, so there's a simpatico in the way you think about things. And if he's born in the earlier part of the day, he's a Capricorn moon.
Mm.
And you're kind of an honorary Aries by being a new moon
Libra
baby
rising.
Yourself. Well, by being a new moon baby, you know, that makes you be like an Aries sun, an Aries moon. You know, it kind of gives you an Aries cast. So I like it.
Mm-hmm. Interesting, because the last person who I was sort of intensely involved with off and on for 7 years, birthday is the day before his. But I feel like
same year?
The same year as me, but there was a communication problem, and then this person I find it pretty easy to talk to.
Yeah.
So, he's
a pretty straight shooter. His Taurus, you know, your Mercury is trying to his Venus, your Venus, rather, is trying to his Mercury, so that's good communication. And your Mercury talks to his nodes, which is decent too. And he's actually a Taurus Mercury. They're pretty straight shooters in terms of what they say. You know, they say it, they mean it. They don't beat around the bush too much.
Mm-hmm.
No, I like him.
He's going through a very hard time right now. So it's like it's a little scary getting involved, but it's like there's such a nice vibration between the two of us.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. What's the scary part? Because then we might be able to figure out what time he's born. What's he scared about?
Oh, he's trying to get sober. So.
Oh, okay. All right. So that's the Neptune. He's got Neptune sextile to his stuff.
Yeah, and he's trying really hard, but he's you know.
Well, it's hard, you know. It's one of those tough ones. He's got a Neptune. Well, he's got Neptune trying his Venus. So he actually, you know, I have a friend who's got this, and she smokes, and she's like, I really like cigarettes. Like, I don't want to give them up. I like them.
Yeah.
And Aries, you know, they do have that ability to, you know, kind of click their fingers and then say they're ready to do something. So the issue is the Mars and Pisces. That's a little bit on the addictive edge. But you've got it too, so you actually may be.
Yes,
he can be addicted to you, and that may help with the alcohol thing. Heather, Mark, comments, want to pipe in and say something? Am I alone on the phone?
Are they?
Did they both fall off?
Okay, the other thing is he's just gotten out of another, like, this kind of negative relationship. So he's, like, drawn to me because we have a sort of spiritual connection.
Yes, the Mars-Pisces, Mars and Pisces joined, yeah. It feels very positive to him and very uplifting, I would think, you know, because your Marses are conjunct. So you both, there's a vision of how to see the world, and, you know, and part of his is about seeing people's souls, so.
Yeah. Yeah, he speaks as he's like one of those people, who, he's like, oh, she's an interesting soul, interesting spirit. Like, he's not. He's definitely a person who speaks in that language, and I tend to like to speak intensely, like get directly to the point on, you know, the real.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And so I enjoy that about him, too, so. But, you know. It's just when you get that excited about someone, it's really easy. I just want to make sure I'm, like, not totally out of my mind.
Well, the thing you want to watch is the sobriety. That's always hard. And, you know, or getting sober is hard, you know, and staying sober is hard. It's not an easy path. So how long has he been sober, or is he still drinking?
He had 2 years, and then he went out, and he's been struggling and getting, like, 2 weeks and then 2 weeks and 2 weeks. He seems pretty good right now, but I just saw him a few minutes ago, and he seemed pretty solid, but you know, I know how it is. It's mm-hmm. tough, and that's, you know, that's another reason to be very careful, because I don't want to be a negative influence, you know.
Yeah, well, and one of the things when they're first starting to be back to being sober is, you know, there's a little bit of a prohibition about being in relationship, just if they're doing the AA program at least.
Yeah.
That, you know,
no, I know.
It's just, you know, it distracts you from your finding your own value or your own worth, but yeah.
Right, and becoming like making someone else your higher power. And,
yeah.
So I know it's all very like.
Yeah, but you like them, you know. Yeah. Sometimes the universe sends us people that, or they, you know, you tripped on his path where he's like, oh, okay, you know, this is maybe a good thing for me to move forward with. So,
yeah.
Heather, Mark, anybody out there talking? Are you guys still on the line?
Yeah.
Oh, okay, cool. Yeah. I'll be quiet. Talk.
Yeah. Well, you know, for you, you want to be careful. You have the Jupiter Saturn opposition, which can kind of pull you into things, you know, like you can get overly optimistic and then things turn sour, right? So you want to be careful about that, how you play that out. And this will be if you continue to be involved with him and he's going through this process and it's difficult, it'll have a lot of reverberations for you. And that's what you need to learn to handle. And it can be a valuable journey. But probably one that you don't want to do entirely just you and him. In other words, you need your little bit of advisor as well.
My bit of what? I'm sorry, I can't hear you very well.
Oh, you'll need a circle of advisors to help you, like, not get lost in, like, being overly optimistic or overly sour with what's going on with him. Because you tend to do that with that opposition, Saturn and Jupiter. And, you know, it's very workable, but it's something that you have to watch out for. And they square your Mercury. So,
I'm afraid of getting too intense is what I'm afraid of. I have a tendency to do that.
Yeah.
Well, but intensity is kind of how you're wired, you know?
Yeah.
Right.
You know, you're an intense girl.
I know.
You were wandering in the wilderness, Heather?
I've tried to restart my Vonage phone 4 times. I'm finally borrowing a cell phone.
Aww,
yeah, it's a long
thank you,
story.
Jamie, for letting you borrow the cell phone.
Yes, because my cell phone's out in the truck and, you know, in the 20 degrees weather outside. So I'm going to just use this. What I was saying about being too intense, and boy, do I know that one as an Aries moon. It's not a matter of you being too intense, because anybody or any situation that can't deal with your intensity isn't for you.
Mm.
But there's a way of being intense but being centered, of really letting that intensity, not leaning into another person with that intensity, but using this Capricorn Aquarius time to really feel your own spine underneath you, your own investment in work that feeds you, and confident slowly growing in yourself in the situation so that you're not leaning into them. And it's not that you're intense. It's how much you might try to get them to be as intense as you are. Can you accept them where they are? And then your intensity is okay.
Mm-hmm.
Does that make sense?
That's especially true during a time when he's getting sober, because, you know, that's a time to ease up on the intensity.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I know. I mean, on one hand, I'm like, look, if we just need to be friends, that's fine right now. I just want to be able to still be there for you. You know, I don't want to get it to be,
mm-hmm.
I don't want to get in the way, and I don't want, you know. You know, I also want to just be able to continue to talk freely, with him, but I don't want it to then turn into some kind of pressure thing either.
Right.
It's tough.
Talking freely and noticing where that person really is, if they're able to listen right then, is the question. So it's, you know, learning to kind of really accept them right where they are, and to look and see what they are ready to handle that day. That it's not a matter of not liking you, it's are they able to listen at the moment, or are they already over full? And becoming aware of them and accepting that some days they can listen, some days they can't. Some days they can share, some days they can't, and it's not necessarily personal.
Right.
I think will really help you reorganize the situation.
I think I also, I think he's a pretty good listener. I think sometimes I'm so anxious and want to say the right thing that I don't always listen.
You know? Right.
It's like,
right.
I want to make everything better, and then I lock myself out sometimes from hearing.
Right. Well, that's, again, taking too much responsibility. You're just not that powerful. You can't make it better.
Yeah.
But you can open the space for it to get better. Like, you can't heal a person, but you can facilitate their healing. So if you can work with it more.
Or give them space to figure out how to heal. Yeah.
Right.
What did you say, Anna?
Or give them space to figure out how to heal.
Yeah.
You know. And he has been sober in the past, so he knows what that is. And so when there's a relapsing piece that kicks up, very often it's the next layer. I always find it like the next layer of the onion. The person's like trying to figure out the next thing that's going on. For them, you know, on the journey, you know, like whatever the addictive behavior is fed by, whatever the thing that the addiction feeds,
right.
It heals, and then the addiction kicks up again, or the desire to be addicted, it kicks up again. And then the person goes, oh, it's back, because there's a new level that's trying to be healed. And the solution is to go for the alcohol or whatever the comfort food is, or the comfort addiction. But really what it is it indicates to me a level of healing. It's not always just you fell off the wagon and now you're back where you were. You've lost everything you've learned over the last 9 years. You know, you haven't. You just have to kind of say, okay, what's the next process? And for him, it looks like the trigger was about 3 or 4 months ago when he had some, you know, his progressed moon. He's having a progressed lunation right now, so... that is a process that he's trying to get back to comfort level with. And in 7 months, it looks like it gets easier. And then 10 months after that, it gets very easy. But he's got a little bit of, he's really in the dark phase of a moon cycle right now. So when you're in that phase, you're not always as conscious as you want to be because there isn't the light of the moon. So it's really about doing his unconscious journey too. You know, that's part of, the stuff that's hidden in his deeper psyche is wanting to come up to be healed. And then, you know, when it wanted to pop up, it said, okay, have a drink, by the way, because this is the best way to handle this wanting to heal. And then he's like, oh, no, I'm wrestling with it. But actually, he wrestled with it successfully for all those years. It's not necessarily gone. It's simply the next chapter in the wrestle or the next chapter in the process of finding himself. And he's back to... I would have him go back and look at what went on when he was 12 and 13, because that's the age from his chart that's trying to heal right now. So.
Well, I know that his family put him on, like, Ritalin and things like that when he was little. He's got ADD and, you know, he's trying to go off everything, like antidepressants, you know, and he's not taking any of that stuff because he strongly believes that it's, you know, more of a spiritual kind of thing. And, you know, then the addiction also would, you know, I mean, drugs would or alcohol would have made it, you know, I think a lot of times people who are, using prescription drugs, it's not as necessary once they get sober, you know.
Alcohol is a systemic depression. It's a systemic, it makes you depressed. So if you're on antidepressants because you're depressed but you're drinking, you know, you're doing the drug that makes you depressed, and then heroin the same way, they're system droppers. But if he was on Ritalin, he may have an up energy issue where he's so high, the only thing that calms him down or takes him to semi-normal functioning is to drug it a little so it sits in the corner and is quiet. You know, that, you know, he may, you know, it might make sense for him to find a psychopharmacologist that he works with while he's trying to get, with the vision being, I'm going to be off the drugs and I'm going to be off the alcohol. And how do
but
I
the
get
question,
there? Yeah.
I mean, I would, I'm, what I'm hearing, and I came in late, I missed part of this, but you have someone who's recovering from alcoholism who slips now and then, and you have you who is a super competent, very intense person that wants to heal him.
Well, no, I mean, I'm in the, I'm also in the room. You know, he's recently, he had a couple years and then he slipped. I don't know how recently he slipped, but he's been, since he slipped, he's not been able to get himself, you know, to 90 days. He's been, you know, getting himself only like a couple weeks at a time and then relapsing. But he's also,
relationship, I'm sorry, between the two of you is?
It's friendship, because, first of all, because that's how it started, also because he's, you know, in this predicament and it's not really safe, but there's definitely a love, you know, love vibration.
So if it's got a potential to turn into something else, it's going to be super important that you do not mother him, that you friend him, that you really work on your codependent pattern, that you do not try to fix him, but that you keep him, and that you do tough love, you know. You don't talk to him when he's, you know, drinking. You just, that there's a real benefit to him to staying sober.
Mm-hmm.
And there's the real warm invitation waiting for him when he's sober, but there's just, you know, you don't feed it, you don't protect him, you don't take care of him when he's drinking. Because he's got to step out of that on his own.
Right. And did you
and
say
if you want to move into love with him as when he grows out of this, it's going to be very carefully helping him find, he's got to find his own vision and his own reason for being sober. He cannot get sober for you, or you will never be good enough when the alcohol hits.
Oh, I know that, yeah.
He's
got to
find
his own way out. Yeah.
And what's his spiritual practice? Does he have any, because, you know, the only cure for negative Neptune is positive Neptune.
Yeah,
and
well,
that's spirituality, communication, creativity.
Yeah, well, can you hear me? Are you there?
Yep.
Yeah.
Okay. He's definitely very spiritual, and he comes from a pretty. I think he's got a lot of God stuff going on. I mean, he also is, I think, fear of the devil too. But he's come with me. I'm actually Sufi, and he's come with me to my.
Wonderful.
Yeah, and he came with me, and he really loved it. And it's just, you know, and he just basically said that it's, you know, like, I mean, it took me 5 years to take hand and actually be, you know, part of the community. But I was going all the time. It just was like, you know, I didn't realize I could, you know, embrace it, really. It was a self sort of deprivation thing. And then I was like, wait a minute, you know. And my life have gotten, like, 100 times better, if not 10,000 times better. But
wonderful. That's going to be such, I mean, watching you being fed by your spiritual path is wonderful for him. So we're going to have to close up here. But just you finding your positive Neptune around him is going to be, and helping him find a way to it in his own way, will be wonderful for him. So we're in the closing statement time here.
Okay. Bye.
But we're going to say goodbye. This is Heather Rowan Robbins speaking to you from northern North Dakota with Mercury very retrograde. And we have who else here? Mark?
Mark Waltz from New York City.
And Ann Orley from the Upper East Side of Manhattan. Yay, Manhattan, yay.
And so use this week, all folks, to tie up loose ends and get yourself organized, because next week is a big week of getting back to work and getting on track with the next phase of our life.
Right.
Any last comments, you two?
I was going to say, a lot of people are saying, officially, when Mercury goes direct, the new year starts. So if you didn't do your New Year's resolution yet, you can still do it this weekend. And also just being aware that it is very volatile energy. And when people react or are really bump around, just kind of say, oh, they're really having an eclipse, aren't they? And not to take it personally, because they're feeling the energy the same way you're feeling it. And there is a little bit of a tendency on eclipses to feel to overreact or to feel you have to do something or you'll just simply won't be able to stand it a minute longer. And a lot of times the best thing to do is to just kind of breathe and not do anything. So, Mark, you got any last words of advice for them for the eclipse?
Yeah, remember the part about breathing.
Keep breathing. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
All right. So, Heather, any last things, and you can take us out?
And this is astronyc.com, Access Astrology, three astrologers that bring our love of astrology to you. Have a safe and wonderful week.
Right, and we'll talk to you next week on Martin Luther King Night.
Bye. Right.
Okay. Bye-bye.